Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 10th of July. I'm your host, Paul White. Quick reminder, we're going to be in Mobile, Alabama this weekend. My final flyout trip before we leave the West Coast and head to Georgia. This has been on the books for several months, and we're excited to be at Pure Grace Church. Check us out. I'm not going to go through all the details. We've done this before on the podcast, but you can find us on our Paul White Ministries Facebook page. There's information, as well as the complete listing of the meeting at paulwhiteministries.com/schedule. And we would love to see some of you in Southern Alabama. We get a lot of drive-ins from when we go to that part of the country, from people that drive several hours to be in service with us. It's going to be an awesome time. Today, 1 Peter chapter 1, we are with Peter in his introduction, and we're in the fourth verse. We're going to use a little bit of the fifth verse today to try to bring together a thought. Listen to what Peter says in 4 and 5. To an inheritance incorruptible or imperishable and undefiled that doesn't fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We talked about what Peter might have meant by the imperishable and undefiled inheritance yesterday, but I didn't bring out enough that it's an inheritance, not something you earn. There is a bit of a difference in what Peter says and what Jesus says. Jesus talks about laying up treasures in heaven. This is you focusing on the realm of the spirit over the flesh. Peter phrases it differently and calls it an inheritance. And an inheritance is something that you receive because of blood, because of someone in your family loves you and leaves you something. And the New Testament loves to talk about what we receive as an inheritance. And I think we need to think of that more often rather than thinking of heaven as this massive spiritual scale that tips in our favor based upon how we lived our lives. You've got this idea that you die, go to heaven, and you stand outside the gates, and there's St. Peter, and you know, here we're reading Peter's epistle, so I guess that's fitting. There's Peter, and Peter looks for your name and or asks you what you did or why you deserve to be there. I don't think there's a Christian really that believes that's the way that works. But it is sort of this in the American ethos, this idea that if you live your life well and you mitigate the bad or at least outdo the bad with enough good, and by good I mean service to others, sacrificial life, you know, removing self from the equation, that you'll make it and that they'll let you in because you did enough. Don't forget, the Christian idea is inheritance. It's the message of the New Testament. It's what we inherit because he's our father and we are his children. But also don't forget this, and this is what I told you we would focus on yesterday. It's reserved in heaven for you. Let me read the next verse as well. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I did a message that we posted a couple of weeks ago. It's on our podcast and all of our platforms called God's Recreation. We did that sermon in Tehachapi, California. And it's a message that deals with the last Adam as personified in a man named Jesus. Jesus goes to the cross, raises from the dead. The resurrection provides us with an entrance into a whole new creation. That Jesus is not, you know, just dying, but this is a plan, and he is now the last Adam, and that there are theological truths that we can take from that that ought to provide us rest. And one of the things I said to begin that message was that Christianity has done us a disservice for a couple thousand years in that it has put heaven and hell on the other side of the grave, when it's very obvious to me that there are elements of heaven and hell on this side of the grave. In fact, so many elements of heaven and hell on this side of the grave that we should be focusing largely on that which is on this side of the grave in terms of heaven and hell. What I don't mean to do through that message, and I don't think I did, but I want to just cover that ground here. I don't mean that there's not a heaven and that we shouldn't think about it or aim for it or believe for it or hope for it. I mean, obviously, to me, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, he says it's reserved in heaven for you. We could argue that Peter is still not talking about a location as much as a dimension, that he's not saying it's way over there, someday you'll get it, but that it's something you don't see. It's spiritual. It's in the heavenlies. But I do think that the early church had the idea Now, whether it looks like what we think it looks like, I don't know. But they had the idea, the concept, that there was a place in God, the heavens or heaven or the heavenlies, where we received the fullness of what we're not completely walking in now, whatever that might look like. Well, sometimes I just like to go see what another writer says. I love what Eugene Peterson says here in 1 Peter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. This is from the Message Bible. Listen to these three verses. What a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have Him, this Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all. Life, healed, and whole. Well, I like everything about that, man. You have started it now. That's the eternal aspect. But the day is coming, and God's guarding that day closely, in which you'll walk into the absolute fullness of your inheritance, a life healed and whole, revealed in us, end of verse 5, revealed in us in the last time. And I don't think that's a last days statement like verse 20, which is coming up. You can sneak ahead. In the last time speaks to me differently than in these last days. Peter is looking the reader forward to the end of their life. This is as much a statement about what happens after you die as maybe any statement we get in the New Testament, that there is a heaven and that the fullness of your inheritance is waiting for you there. So for people who ask me, and they ask me every time I get up and say something like, heaven starts now, get involved, or people are going through hell now, every time someone either raises their hand in a Q&A or meets me afterwards and says, so do you believe in heaven? Is there a place called heaven? And yes, I do. And 1 Peter 1, 4, and 5 is one of the reasons I do, is because we have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that doesn't fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. You can have a part of it now. It's kept by the power of God, and so are you, through faith for salvation. Not all of it's revealed until the last time. And I don't mean the last days. I mean your last time. And when you're in your last time, that will be revealed to you. And I don't know what it looks like, and neither do you, but you will in your last time. That's why I say to people, I don't know what's on the other side of death. I haven't died yet. I will know in the fullness, and I will walk into the... This is why I believe that healing is part of the covenant, but I may not even walk into all of it until the last time. But then I'll get all my inheritance. I'm not promised the full, hear this, and I'll close. I'm not promised all of my inheritance on this side of heaven, because Peter says it's reserved there for me. So I think we can tap into it, but we don't walk into fullness of it completely until we make it over there. We'll continue into verse 6 tomorrow. See you then. God bless.